Welcome to our Team Roundtable podcast, where we explore the hot topic of the week here at CRA Resources. And just a reminder for those tuning in for the first time, CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. So let's get started. Angela, what is the hot topic we've discussed this week?
Well, we are going to continue with the 360 and the LinkedIn profile theme that we've been doing. And so today we're going to talk a lot about your experience section and why it's important to do certain things with your experience section and why it's important to not do other things with your experience section. And as a reminder to the audience, as we dig into the details here, the goal for your LinkedIn profile and all of the other sessions that we've already recorded. So if you guys haven't heard them, we've done deep dives on things like your headline, your about section, all of these areas. You're trying to appeal to both the bots, the LinkedIn Brew algorithm, the robots that are actually parsing your information and making you show up in people's feeds. But you also then need to appeal to the humans. So the advice that we're going to be giving to you today is to help you to win in both camps so that you're not only getting found, you're being chosen so that you can move forward with interviews and offers.
I love it. It's like you'd think the experience section is the most automatic. I just plunk in my dates and my roles and bullets and it's all done. And it's that you'd think that's the easiest part of your LinkedIn profile, but there's a lot of nuance that's really going to help you guys. So who wants to start?
Well, that's a point, Becky, because recruiters and hiring managers, we often skim the experience section before anything else, just to validate fit. And it's not just about your titles. We actually train new recruiters to take note of the title, but the task is where they will find the right person. But keep in mind that this section does feed both humans and AI, also known as 360 Brew. So being very clear and consistent with your resume will directly affect your visibility in both search and in relevance ranking, just to make sure you're coming up in people's searches. But by the end, I think everybody will know how to turn each role into a mini story that will help reinforce your resume, will strengthen the search results, and it's going to help us move forward with you quicker. So when we see you, we know that you're likely going to be a right fit so we can move forward with you.
I love that, especially the mini story part. I think this is where we need to keep in mind that your resume and your LinkedIn need to be in alignment. So your LinkedIn experience section needs to align with your resume in terms of the story arc of your career, but it doesn't necessarily need to duplicate it. So misaligned dates and job titles and responsibilities, these are going to be early red flags for recruiters. If you don't have those matching in your resume, they can look like credibility or honesty issues. So be careful there. Even if you don't mean to be deceiving, fraudulent is rampant. And that's just something that's going to get you ruled out automatically if those things don't align. But the experience section, like I said, should echo the same story arc as the resume, the same roles, dates, scope, and outcomes. But the format and the wording can be more narrative in your LinkedIn experience section. So you want it to complement. So your resume is going to be more bullet driven, more concise, tailored to specific roles, but your LinkedIn can be a little more conversational. It can add context, a little more backstory, more examples or metrics, things that didn't quite fit on the resume. So both should have the same core value proposition and keywords, but you want to make sure that they align. They don't necessarily have to match.
I think telling your story is the key here. You know, people should really get big in their experience section and elaborate. And unfortunately, they don't. So I agree with that. I think those are all really great points.
And I think it's really important in your experience section, like we were saying earlier, is to keep in mind that LinkedIn's algorithm is going to look at that. So to just get found in the first place, the experience section can make a difference there, because 360 Brew will read your job titles, company names, locations, dates, descriptions, all of that stuff in your experience section. And then it chooses what profiles show up in searches and in recommendation lists. So using consistent terminology can help there. Using industry standard titles and keywords can be helpful. But I think the biggest thing is having that alignment between your experience section and the other sections in your profile. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure your headline, your about section, your skill section, everything else is also in line with your experience section. Like the main idea is you just want to tell the same story all throughout your profile. 360 Rue is going to be looking for consistency, clarity of experience, and relevance to the audience that you want to reach. So look at your profile and think, is there a clear area of expertise shown all throughout the profile? Because that's what your goal is with 360 Brew. And another important thing is in those descriptions for your experience, try to include results and value-driven metrics, because that's one thing that AI interprets as expertise. So have those results and good outcomes from your different jobs. Be sure to list those in there. And avoid things like incomplete roles, vague descriptions, or mainly just using buzzwords in your content. We want to like really understand what you actually did.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the what you did thing that matters, isn't it?
Exactly.
I'll spend just a minute on the alignment of what you have in your experience section with the other areas of your LinkedIn profile. The old 360 algorithms, there were separate algorithms that parsed your profile. There was one for headline, one for about section, one for your experience, etc. And so the parsings were independent and they really didn't communicate with each other. And so that's why the new 360 Brew that was launched last year is such a big change, because it's one algorithm that parses your entire profile and it considers your posts as well. And what it's trying to do is it's trying to assign a persona to you. And so that's why it's so important. So if in your headline and your about section, like let's take me for example. So if in my headline and my about section, I highlight the fact that I'm a recruiter and a coach, a job search coach. But then in my experience section, if I start talking about being an auto mechanic, the 360 Brew is not going to really understand which audience to put me in front of. And so it just won't put me in front of anybody. And that's why that alignment is so really important, is being able to tell that same consistent story. So you guys that are listening, you keep hearing tell the same story, but that's why. Because you're going to spend all this time on your profile. And I see it all the time. The headline will say aspiring CRA. And then all of the other stuff talks about your coordinating experience or your MD experience or your biology or lab experience, etc. So the Brew system is a machine, you guys. And I would even say if you look at it from a dumb machine, you got to feed it the data. And if you put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. And so the issue there is if you're not telling an alignment, it's just going to drop you like a hot potato and move on to the next profile, because it's not going to know which audience to put you in front of. So what Jenny has told you is gold. You guys need to make sure you're aligning yourself there.
I agree with that as well. And also talking, kind of going back to the mini stories, how everything has to align. And I love that, because recruiters, we see so many resumes each week, and mm-hmm. reading another list of similar responsibility makes it hard for you to stand out as a candidate when we're looking at resumes and the LinkedIn. So I always encourage to go ahead and make your bullet points into mini stories. Like when every bullet starts with responsible for or manage, it's just so dry. It's just everybody puts that down. You lose the energy and the meaning behind the mini story that you want to create. So turning a story, like a story turns a task into a dynamic example, like how it shows your challenge you went through, you took ownership, you delivered results. That's what us recruiters want to see. So for instance, here's a little mini story example. Led workflow improvement during a cardiovascular clinical study by implementing a shared digital registry to eliminate duplicate data entry, streamlined team coordination, boosting patient recruitment by 40%, and enabling the study to reach its milestones ahead of schedule. So right there, the situation was the cardiovascular clinical study was falling behind on patient recruitment goals due to duplicate data entry. So you just kind of said what the situation was there. Then the action that you led was you led a process review and partnered with the data manager to design a shared digital registry, eliminating that duplication and streamlining the participant tracking. The result was you increased recruitment by 40%. And you met your study milestone ahead of schedule. And you always want to add in there a reflection that shows what this situation taught you. Like, this experience strengthened your belief that small operational improvements can drive major research efficiencies. So that's an example there as far as like turning something that you did into a mini story. So it's not so bullet point
boring.
What I'm looking. Yes, thank you.
boring.
Yeah, like, you know, I love when I get resumes or when I'm prepping for an interview that I have to, you know, conduct, I love to look at the resume and be like, okay, what story are they telling me? And I want to see the same thing on LinkedIn. Like, yes, I want to see what you've accomplished, but also give me a little story about it. I just don't want to see bullet points and tasks after tasks. Just give me a story. What did you do while you were there? I think we even have a client that that loves, like, that has shared with us. They like to see when candidates have stories on their resumes, like what they achieve during that time with that employment that they were at. So, yes.
Yeah, it's the proof. It's the proof in the pudding. I think that's what's most important. It's not just, I probably did these tasks. These were the tasks in the job description. This is basically what this role does. But what did you actually contribute that's unique, that sets you apart from other candidates?
Exactly.
That's what they want to hear and see on your LinkedIn and your resume.
And in that example, there was a lot more passion. Mm-hmm. And that statement that you could tell that person loved their position and loved the role that they were in to help drive that study.
And fraudulent candidates are going to be less likely to tell those stories. And so that means you're going to rise above the huge percentage of fraudulence that's out there because you've got real life examples of things that you've done within the operational realm.
And I loved your example, Natalie, because it really brought up the three non-negotiables that hiring managers and recruiters look for when they're looking at your experience section. So they're looking for a clear scope of what you're doing. So what was the size of your team, the budget that you had, the types of projects you did, the kind of markets that you served, and evidence of progression, what, you know, the promotions you got, the more responsibilities, more tasks that you got, new skills or, you know, tool sets that you learned. And then they want to see a measurable impact. So what did you do? The efficiency of it, the revenue, quality, how did you grow, stakeholder outcomes too. And those will really have a big impact on what we look for. But the wow factors that we really look for is, like everyone's been saying, the mini stories. We want to see what you've done and what you've accomplished and what you've built. We want to see that you have a clear alignment with your target role. So don't put random stuff. If you're in a clinical research field, don't put cat stuff or construction or did you guys see the latest episode of, you know, American Idol or whatever, like that kind of stuff. And then there's also red flags that we want to make sure that we're seeing when we do go through your experience section. We're looking for gaps or inconsistencies versus what's on your resume that isn't explained anywhere. It can be kind of confusing and we want to poke at that. Overly vague claims without proof or examples. So we see this a lot. People put strategic leader and results oriented on their profile. It's not possible for you all to be strategic leaders or we would have more managers. It's not possible. You can't all be that. And then the last thing, overstuffed paragraphs that hide important wins. So just kind of like word vomiting without getting to the root of what you've done. So that's what we really want to see when we're checking your experience section.
Yeah.
I love that last point, that strategic leader. It's like, okay, what strategy did you implement? You know, yeah, I want to know who did you lead and what strategy?
What was the situation? What did you do?
I can't say that word.
No, I'm with you. Those are just buzzwords, aren't they, that people throw into their profile. But if they're not anchoring something tangible that you did with a specific outcome, then it really is meaningless. So I totally agree with that. And I love the fact that you touched on the red flags again. LinkedIn is a bit of a pain because when you go to add a new employment to your LinkedIn, if you're not careful, it will assign you an end date to your last employment. And so you do have to be very cognizant of what you're doing when you're updating your experience section. And you need to make sure that you're entering the correct start dates and end dates, because that is a big flag for us. Now, we as a recruiting agency, we usually ask about it. If your resume and your LinkedIn start and end dates don't align, we usually ask, because we understand most of the time, or sometimes it could be an error, but a lot of companies will not. And more artificial intelligence are now, whenever you apply for a position and it parses your resume, it'll go out and do a real quick digital footprint analysis like your LinkedIn or whatever, and it'll compare. And if they don't match, then you just don't get a callback. So making sure that even though we're telling you to flesh out your LinkedIn and tell this many stories, and it doesn't have to align with your resume, like what everybody has said here, you still want to make sure that you're very cognizant whenever you're adding experience sections, because LinkedIn will lie on your behalf if you're not careful. You have to make sure you're feeding it that data.
LinkedIn will lie on your behalf. I love that. Like, I was like, LinkedIn is like, I think if you talk to any developer, they'll be like, everyone thinks computers are so smart, but actually computers are incredibly dumb. They just do what you tell them to do.
That's exactly right.
And like, this can all feel like a lot. You're like, this is just the experience section on LinkedIn. How can this have so many pieces? And like, there is just a simple, like, we're just a little checklist. You're gonna like, it's not as overwhelming as like you might think it is. You're walking away like, oh my gosh, I have to do all this. It's actually, it's more simple than you think it is. We are just very detail-oriented people. But you're just going to go through LinkedIn, and first thing you want to do is you want to make sure the companies match, the dates match your resume, and the titles match. I do not want to look at LinkedIn and see marketing manager, and then on resume it says something else. Like, I want these things to align. Don't make me guess. It's not interpretive words here. And then your dates should line up. I'm not doing any mysterious time warps. What do you mean you in 2020 you were here, but resume says this? Like, make them align. It's not about being boring. Everyone thinks, oh, I want to be social on LinkedIn. I want to be fun and interactive. It's not about being boring. It's about being trustworthy. I have to be able to trust your word, whether it's on the resume or whether it's on the LinkedIn. I want to be able to trust you. Help me help you trust you. And then for each role, you're just going to give me like 1 to 2, 3 key stories with that action, context, action, and result. Like, the problem was Y or X, the action was Y, the result was Z. It does not have to be overwhelming, and it can be really simple, because you can't tell me you didn't have a situation where you solved a problem at work. You solved so many problems. I know you did. And just give us a little quick little thing. And something that I like to do to help frame that kind of thought, so I don't get overwhelmed by everything that I want to put on LinkedIn, is if someone only read one bullet from your job, what would they understand your value? Would they understand what you're trying to communicate? So you just want to like keep it, you want to keep it clear and concise, and like show us what you did. Don't overwhelm with buzzwords. Don't just slam every buzzword in there. Like Savannah said, strategic and leader. And you know, you got to be concise. You got to be clear. And then headline, I swear yesterday this happened. Make sure your headlines and your experience match, because yesterday I had someone whose headline said videographer, and I was like, great, but then their first title was a clinical research associate that they'd been in for 8 years. Pick one, man. Pick one. You can't have both. I'm so sorry, but you cannot have both. Just make it clear and consistent. Don't leave any room for guesswork, because if we start guessing, where are we going to go? You know, and then the last biggest piece too is just make sure that LinkedIn is friendly to the robots and the humans. Like, you know, which is what all this is that we're just making sure that both audiences are like, oh, this is just the perfect person. You're going to love them, you know, and just give the robots and the humans what they want.
Yeah, those are really good points, Maya. And as we come to a close, I just want to remind everybody that's listening to us that a well-written experience section, it's not just a history log. It's evidence that supports your resume. It helps power 360 Brew, and it tells a compelling story to hiring managers. So alignment plus storytelling equals higher search visibility and will make a stronger first impression on the people looking at your profile. So with that, I do encourage listeners to audit one role today and share before and after drafts with a mentor, a coach, or a peer. Take this advice. Have them look at your whole LinkedIn profile to make sure everything aligns. And just to let you guys know, there is more to come. You should expect future episodes where we're going to talk about features, the skills section, recommendations, and there's also educations and licenses and certificates as well. And that's all powered by LinkedIn.
One thing that I want to close with, because Becky's got this, we have to shut down look on her face, but I was coaching someone this week and she was like, okay, well, I've got the gig. So do I need to worry about LinkedIn anymore? And I said, yeah, you should. And here's why. We as a recruiting agency look for people. And most of the hires that we get are because we found people, not because they applied. Now, I'm not telling you guys don't apply, because we've placed people that have applied to us as well. But you guys give me a gut check. Wouldn't you say that at least 80% of our hires are because we found you? Recruiters are looking for you. Get found because your profile is something find-worthy. It's like putting a billboard up. I've got a Chick-fil-A right next door, and I know you're starving to death, and we got a special on, right? You have to be found in order to get the gig. It's not about applications. That's just the tip of the iceberg. You need to show up in recruiters and hiring managers' feeds. That is what gets you found. And these things that we're giving you, this is the keys to the kingdom, you guys. This alignment matters a lot more than you think, and it's going to make your job search a lot easier than you think. Even if you have a job right now, someone will find you and offer you a better one when everything aligns. You will never have to search for another job again if your LinkedIn profile is landing in the right people's feeds.
Love it. That's super powerful. It's not just a business card. It's a live, interactive thing that you're constantly putting out there, and then everything is coming to you. That's the easiest way to do it. Well, thank you, team, for this discussion. Thank you all out there for listening. If you want to explore more of our content, you can visit creresources.com/blog to check out our latest articles and additional podcasts. You can also sign up to get this content delivered to your inbox, and feel free to reach out at creresources.com for more information about our firm. We can't wait to work with you.